Well, take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm very excited about the points today, the message, the life of Abraham. If you want to take notes, there's a place on the back of the bulletin for you to jot some thoughts down today. There are cynics that will say this about faith. They will say faith is the illogical belief in the occurrence of the impossible. But faith, that is not what faith is. And faith, it is not a feeling. It is not a feeling about something good is about to happen to you. It's not a feeling at all. What faith is, and hopefully we've seen it over the past few weeks, but faith is really a person's response to God's Word. What God says, that we respond to it, even when God's Word does not seem to make sense, and even when it seems to go against circumstances, we still trust Him and obey what His Word has to say. Faith is our foundation. You know, if you were to build a house, you put it on a foundation. You lay the block or you pour the foundation in concrete to keep the house from moving and shifting with the cold weather and the warm weather and all of those things. And faith is the foundation of all that we believe. You see, the foundation for your Christian life and your walk with the Lord, it is that you respond to God's Word as He speaks. When God says that, we respond to it. You know, sometimes we don't like what God says. Sometimes we don't really want to do what God challenges us to do. But you see, real faith says, you know, Lord, I don't like this, and I don't know how it's all going to turn out, and it makes me a little uncomfortable, and the circumstances aren't very good, but God, I'm going to do what You command me to do in Your Word. That's real faith, responding to the Word of God. Well, let's look at some things. We'll have to move right along here this morning. Abraham's faith. I want you to see the first thing that I want you to catch this morning is Abraham's faith. It enabled him to obey when he did not know where he was going. God told Abraham, Abraham, I want you to come. I want you to go to a land that I will show you. And well, let's read Hebrews 11 and verse number 8. It says, by faith, Abraham, he obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Wow. Biblical faith, strong faith, it obeys God's Word. It obeys the voice of God no matter what. And his faith enabled him to go even though he didn't know where he was going. Now, how many of you would just pack up a U-Haul truck and head out and not know where you're going? No, we want to know. We want to know the path. We want to know what's going to happen. We want to know as much as we possibly can know. But the truth of the matter is there are many uncertainties in life. There are many things that we do not know. There are many things that God just says, you know what? You just need to trust me. You just need to step out and you need to do what's right. You just step out and you follow me and I will take you and I will show you and I will get you to where you need to be. And so faith, it enabled Abraham to go even though he did not know where he was going. Well, faith also, it enables us to understand what God says. You see, an unbeliever, they may understand portions of Scripture, but really the Bible tells us that it is when a person believes, when their faith, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I was reading a couple of weeks ago, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and I want to share those with you. In my quiet time, I was reading this, and in 2 Corinthians 3, verses 15 and 16, look what the Bible says. But even to this day, when Moses is read, that's the book of the law, the Old Testament. When Moses is read, look what it says. Even today, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their hearts. There's a veil that is over their hearts. Look at this now, verse 16. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Faith enables us to understand what God is saying. Many times you will not understand the Word of God until the Holy Spirit removes that veil and allows you and helps you to see that. As an unbeliever, you may read certain passages of Scripture and understand those, but it isn't until you turn to the Lord and by faith you receive Him and by faith you accept what God says, then the Holy Spirit, then He will remove the veil and you will begin to understand Scriptures as you have never understood them before. So faith enables us to understand God's Word. Faith comes also, it comes through hearing Scripture. Well, how does a person come to the point where they realize they need a Savior and that they need salvation and that the Lord died for them and so forth? How do they get that faith? Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That's why it's so important that we preach the Scriptures, that we teach the Scriptures, that we teach the Word of God, because it is the Word of God that brings faith to a person's heart. It is the Word of God that enables them to see and to understand what God is saying. Well, faith enables us to see what others cannot see. Others oftentimes cannot see what God's Word is saying. They cannot see the truth. Why? Because they do not have faith. They do not have true faith. And so faith enables us to see what others do not see. And also it enables us to do what others cannot do. I'll give you an example. There's things that God calls on us as His children to do that an unbeliever cannot understand. They cannot do it. They do not understand why they would do that. God challenges us to love the unlovely. Well, that doesn't make sense sometimes, does it? God's Word, sometimes He challenges us to give and to do certain things, and sometimes to the lost person that makes absolutely no sense. But you see, when you have true faith, that true faith, it enables you to do what others cannot do. Why? Because you're doing it out of obedience to the Word of God. Because you trust God. You know God is going to see it through. That God has a purpose and a reason of why He's asking you to do something that seemingly to you and in your eyes may not make any sense. But in the eyes of God, it's a matter of changing you. It's a matter of working on you. It's a matter of you obeying Him. That's why He challenges us. Look at another thing. Abraham's faith, it enabled him to live with eternity in view. We don't do that very often. We tend to live for the here and now, don't we? We tend to live for today. We tend to live for this life and what this life has and what this life can offer. But I want you to see Abraham, he lived with eternity in view. He was a sojourner. Let's go back to Hebrews 11. And in Hebrews 11, pick up in verse number 9. It says, by faith, he dwelt in the land of promise. It was promised to him by God. He dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents. with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Verse number 10. For he walked for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He was ready to move. He was not too attached to where he was. He was willing to, when God said, Abraham, I want you to go. I want you to gather up your things and I want you to go. I'll show you where you're supposed to go. A person who is living for the here and now and has their roots too deep, they're not going to pull up and they're not going to go do that. But Abraham, he was living with eternity in view. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, speaking of Christians now, it says, Beloved, I beg you as sojourners. For example, when Caleb goes over to Germany, he's going over there as a sojourner. He's going there for however many months it is. However, to go through, he is going to be a sojourner there. He's not going to dwell there and live there permanently. At least his parents don't think he is, right? He's going there as a sojourner. We as believers, we are sojourners on this earth and in this life. And pilgrims, and he says, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. In other words, Peter is telling believers, don't get your roots too deep. Don't get your roots too deep here, because you know what? The trumpet may blast, the Lord may return, the Lord may take the life out of your body. We don't know when God may call you home. And so rather than spend every moment of every day living for just the here and now, live your life with eternity in view. Live your life sharing the faith, sharing the gospel with others around you. There is nothing that you can take with you into eternity except that those that you are able to lead to the Lord. They'll be in eternity. But everything else will not. Look at this. Abraham's faith also enabled him to obey when he did not know how God's will would be done. Oh, isn't that a good one? Oh, how many times does God challenge us and say, this is what I want you to do, and this is, and we're like, well, how? How in the world could I do that? But you see, his faith enabled him to do what God wanted him to do, even though he did not know how in himself he would be able to do that. Look at verses 11 and 12. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged what? She judged God faithful. She judged God faithful who had promised. God had promised Abraham and Sarah a son. And Abraham and Sarah, they laughed at God. And they got impatient with him. And they came up with their own clever plan that, hey, you know what? Maybe God is going to give us our son through my handmaid, Hagar. And so Abraham and Hagar, they have a son together, Ishmael. But God says, no, that's not the promise. The promise I gave you was that you and Sarah would have a child together. Now, you got to give them credit. Nobody is perfect. But you have to understand, when God told them this, he was about 75. She was a little younger than that, maybe 65 or a little somewhere in there. And then when God finally gave them Isaac, Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah was almost that as well. That was a miracle. All right? Would we all agree that that probably was a miracle? That was a miracle. Biological miracle. God's hand was in that whole thing. That was a miracle. And it says in verse number 12, therefore, because she believed God to be faithful, therefore, from one man and him as good as dead. I don't speak much of Abraham there, but give him a little slack. He's 100 years old. They were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Wow. God did what he said. And they believed him. They trusted him. You see, unbelief will say, how in the world can this be? But faith will say, how will this be? Not how can it be, but how will it be? In Luke chapter 1 and verse 34, Mary, she's been told she's going to have a son, and she's never been married. She's never been with a man. And then Mary said to the angel, she says, how can this be, since I do not know a man? I've never been with a man. Physically, it's impossible, Gabriel. Gabriel, your halo is a little crooked because that is impossible. But in verse 37, it goes on and it says, this is how it's possible, for with God, nothing will be impossible. I don't usually read poems very well, but I'm gonna read this one, and you can judge whether I read it well or not. Well, I probably won't, so I'll just give you that right up front. But it's got a good message in it, so I want to try to share it with you, all right? It says, Lord, I've never moved a mountain, and I guess I never will. All the faith that I could muster wouldn't move a small anthill. Yet, I'll tell you, Lord, I'm grateful for the joy of knowing thee and for all the mountain moving down through the life you've done for me. When I needed some help, you lifted me from the depths of great despair. And when burdens, pain, and sorrow have been more than I can bear, you have always been my courage to restore life's troubled sea. And to move these little mountains that have looked so big to me, many times when I've had problems, and when bills I've had to pay, and the worries and the heartaches just kept mounting every day. Lord, I don't know how you did it. Can't explain the where's and or why's. All I know, I've seen these mountains turn to blessings in disguise. No, I've never moved a mountain, for my faith is far too small. Yet I thank you, Lord of heaven, you have always heard my call. And as long as there are mountains in my life, I'll have no fear. For the mountain moving Jesus is my strength and always near. I like that. That's why I read it, because I don't read poetry very well. But that has a great message. We all have mountains. And truthfully, on your own, you can't move it. But God can. And when you're close to Jesus, when you're where you need to be, He'll help move those mountains. Well, look at another thing. Abraham's faith enabled him to obey even when he did not know, even though he did not know when God would fulfill the promise. In Hebrews 11, we'll go to verse number 13. Speaking of all of these of faith in Hebrews 11, etc., it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. Now, I want you to understand that. Sometimes you may not see what you're praying for. Sometimes it may come later. It may come after you're gone. I don't know. But Abraham and these in the Hebrews chapter 11, the heroes of the faith, many of them, they believed God, they trusted God, they lived for God, they obeyed God, and many of them never saw the promises that God gave them come to fruition, come to reality, but they believed Him. But it says, but having seen them afar off, they were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You see, believers, listen to me. Waiting is difficult, isn't it? Waiting, oh man, I hate waiting. Waiting rooms, they're full of chairs. Everybody go in there and sit and be miserable. Praise the Lord, everybody has a cell phone now. So they can be on Facebook and they're less miserable than they used to be. But nobody likes to wait. I don't know, how long does it take a bag of microwave popcorn to pop? Seems like forever. Go do something else while that thing pops. We're just so fast. We're so impatient. We're so ready to move on. And nobody likes to wait. And waiting is difficult. We can be praying about something, praying about something, praying about it. And after a couple hours, we give up. See, God doesn't work according to our time schedule, does He? There's things that I've prayed about and prayed about and prayed about and then give up because, boy, I guess that's just not what the Lord has. And then in His timing, His perfect timing, He does what He chooses to do. Waiting is difficult. Faith, though, it waits for God's perfect time. It waits for God's perfect time. We are to obey, though, while we wait. We're to obey while we wait. We have a grand dog now. And we can get him to sit and wait. He doesn't like to. But if he knows there's a treat at the end of the deal, he'll wait. None of us like to wait either. We do not like to wait. But God says, wait. But while you wait, obey. Kind of like our grand dog. While you wait for this treat that I'm about to give you, you stay seated. And God says to us sometimes, while you wait for me to answer your prayers, to do what it is, I'm ready to move. God's ready to do. But you know what? You need to obey first. You need to be obedient first. Maybe there's something that's making the wait a little longer because you're not being obedient while you wait. See what I'm saying? Oh, when I was a kid, you know, we could be promised, you know, we're going to go swimming. Now, here, maybe not a big deal. In Maine, that's a big deal because you only get to do it about 3 weeks out of the year. It's just too cold. We go swimming when the water's 70 degrees, and that's very, very cold. Exactly. But we're going to go swimming later, but you need to do this and take the trash out and you need to do this and this. And I've got a few things to do first. And if we didn't do the things that we needed to do, we didn't go swimming when we wanted to go swimming. We had to wait until those things were done. And you see, while we wait on God to work and God to move and God to do what we want God to do, God may be saying, I need you to do. I need you to obey. I need you to walk close to me. Well,
Waiting is not easy, but we should obey while we do wait. Abraham's faith also enabled him to believe God even when he was tested. Even when he was tested. I watched the students around here a couple of weeks ago. They're having their finals and exams and tests and everything like that. Those are hard. Remember as a student, you know, you'd pray right before the test. Lord, help me to recall all those things I did not study. That's not going to happen, right? You got to study. You got to do your part. But nobody likes tests. I'm telling you something. Sometimes I believe the Lord is very patient and He does test us. He doesn't test us with evil, but He does test us to do what? To refine us, to make us better, to burn the dross off the gold, let's say. Look at verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, he offered up Isaac. Now remember, he waited 25 years for Isaac to be born. He was 100 years old. It was a miracle from Almighty God. And Isaac was going to be the father of a huge nation. And then God says, no, I want you to take Isaac up and I want you to offer him on the altar. Now, if you have children, you know that that's not culturally something that we do. We would never, that would just crush me. And I don't know how Abraham could do this, but Abraham, the Bible tells us that the next morning, he was busy about obeying God and getting the wood and gathering things up and going up to the mountain that God had told him. So God is testing him, and God said to offer up Isaac. And look at this now. And he who had received the promises, he offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Concluding, look at this now in verse number 19. This is exciting to me. As Abraham packed up Isaac and he had his servants and they loaded up the donkeys with all the wood and they had the rope and they had the knife and they had all of the fire, everything that they needed to go and make a sacrifice on the mountain there, as God had told him, Abraham is going, believing and trusting that he is going to be offering up Isaac. And here's what's going through the back of Abraham's mind. God, this makes no sense to me. You promised me Isaac, and you promised me that he is going to be the father of a great nation. You promised me that he's going to have many children, that there's going to be a nation born out of him. And now, God, you're saying for me to go and sacrifice him? That makes no human sense to me at all. But it says here, Abraham, he believed God. In Genesis, you go read it. He was obedient immediately. Here's why. It was his faith. Verse number 19 says, concluding, coming to the understanding of, concluding, look at this now, that God was able to raise him up. When Abraham loaded those donkeys with the wood and took his servants and so forth, Abraham believed that if God told him to offer his son Isaac on that altar, that God was surely able to raise him up and that he would. That's real faith. And he says he was able to raise him up even from the dead. From which he also received him in a figurative sense. He was 100, remember. In other words, Abraham knew that if he and his wife Sarah could have a baby at 100 years old for him and 90 for her, that's a miracle.
And if God can do that, and God's telling me to sacrifice Isaac on the altar, then God can raise him up again. Wow. I don't know about you, but I probably would have been like that little third grader. You ever seen third graders? They ask why a lot. Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? What? How can we, how come? Why? Why? And it drives you crazy, doesn't it? And you just, after about 40 of those, you just say, because I said so. Or because I need to. Or just never mind. Right? Kids, why? We don't see it in the scriptures. But God says, take Isaac up and offer him up. I never see where Abraham said why. Now, he was human flesh and blood just like you and I are. You know why he didn't say why? At least we don't see that he did. And why he was obedient? Because he believed God. His faith enabled him to obey God even when it was hard, even when it didn't make any sense. Abraham's faith also enabled God to declare him righteous. And this is the awesome thing, because that's what enables God to declare you and I righteous. It's our faith in Jesus. It's just like we saw last week when Noah, he built that ark. It took 120 years. And God says, pitch it on the inside, pitch it on the outside. And as I showed you last Sunday, he didn't go to Home Depot or Menards and get a big discount on pitch. He had to make it. And pitch, the word pitch is the same Hebrew word for atonement. And what God was saying is, when you're in that ark, the judgment of the world cannot reach you because you are atoned, you are safe. And when your faith is in Jesus Christ, that's the same as being in the ark. You're safe. We are saved by faith and faith alone. Not by works, not by baptism, not by the nice things you do. No, you are faith, saved by faith and faith alone. Romans chapter 4, we'll turn there. This is our last thing. I'm almost finished. Romans 4, look at verse number 19. Romans 4, verse number 19, talking about Abraham. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. She was barren, had never had a child. Verse 20, he did not, waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but look at this, was strengthened in faith, giving what? Glory to who? To God. Giving glory to God. And being, look at this now, fully convinced, totally convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to what? Perform. If God promises it, he can do it, and he will do it. Verse 22, and therefore it was, look at this, accounted, another word is imputed, to him for righteousness. And then verse 23, now it was written for his sake, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us, it shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses. Jesus died on the cross for my sins. He died on the cross for the sins of the world. He was put to death for our offenses. And God, and it says, and was raised up because of our justification. What's that mean? So that we could be saved. So that we could be justified. So that our sins could no longer be over us. That we could be right before God. Abraham was saved because of faith. You are saved because of faith. Do you see the faith that Abraham has? It says that it was imputed to him for righteousness' sake. That means imputed is an accounting word. And it means it was put to his account. When you and I believe God, when we put our faith and our trust in Christ alone, the fact that he was crucified, he was buried, and he was resurrected again for our justification, for our salvation, when we have that kind of faith, guess what? That's a saving faith. And his righteousness is put on your account. That's awesome. That's a great deal. You can't find a bank in town that would do that. Only God can do that. And God can only do that when you put your faith in him. Well, people of faith, now listen to me. People of faith, you got to catch this now. Everybody listen. People of faith are not perfect. Abraham, I didn't read you these stories, but Abraham lied about Sarah, didn't he? He was afraid that the king, Abimelech or whatever, was going to have his wife, and so he said, she's my sister, and on. Abraham, he wasn't perfect. We see that he lied. He laughed. Abraham and Sarah laughed. They got, what? You weren't perfect. And guess what? Maybe a surprise or a shock to us. We're not perfect either. But it's not our perfection that saves us, is it? It's faith. It's believing and trusting and obeying God at his word, trusting him, believing that Jesus Christ and Christ alone is our salvation. Wow. People aren't perfect. I have people, you witness to them and you talk to them, well, you know, they think they have to be perfect before they get saved. No! That's why you need to be saved, because you're not perfect. And guess what? You won't be perfect afterwards, but you'll be righteous in the eyes of God. And that's what really matters. They trust and they obey God's word. That's what faith does. We need to be in his word. And the best way to grow our faith is to walk with people that are faithful. Little boy and his father, one time they were out and they were trying to fly a kite. And the father promised the little boy, it will fly. Little boy had never seen it before. The father was like, it will fly. They got out there, they got the string all out, and they got it, and they got it, and boy, it was up in the air, and it was flying. And the little boy said, I knew it would fly. Daddy said it would. Our Heavenly Father has said, and what he has said, he will do. There's a story of a little boy. He was on a house was on fire. He was on top, and there were flames shooting out and so forth. The father was below, and it was smoky and hard to see, and blackness in the middle of the night, and it was super hard. And the father kept telling the little boy, jump to me, and the little boy was afraid to leave the roof. And his father kept yelling at him and saying, jump, I will catch you. I will catch you. But the boy, he protested and he said, Daddy, I can't see you. And the father replied, but I can see you, and that's all that matters.
You and I, we may not understand, we may not see all the things that are around the curves in life, but we know who does, right? And He can see.
The Christian faith, it enables us to face or meet death, not because we can see or not because we've done anything, but with the certainty that we are seen.
That's the key. Would you stand with me this morning as the musicians come?
Every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment. There is no possible way that a preacher, any human being, could actually know the heart's condition of any other person. We could all fake and lie and everything to one another and deceive. But you see, like that father was telling that little boy, you know, you can't see me, but I can see you. And you see, God can look through, He sees through the black smoke and the darkness, and He can see through the facade and all of that, and He sees your heart. How's your faith today? Maybe you're here and you have saving faith. You have trusted the Lord Jesus and you trust Him and Him alone, and you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you're a Christian. That's wonderful. Praise the Lord. Now, how are we doing on sharing that with other people? How are we doing about praying for others? How are we doing in all of the other aspects or areas of our Christian walk with the Lord? Then there may be some here that will say, Pastor, boy, I've been religious and I've gone to church and I've done this and that and I've done it my whole life. My parents were saved, they were Christians, they were good people, and I've been a good person. But preacher, I don't really know that I've ever been saved. I don't know that I've ever put my full faith and trust in Jesus Christ and the cross alone. My friend, we want to give you opportunity to respond to the message that you've heard this morning. Don't go out. Don't delay. The Bible says my spirit will not always strive with a person. If God spoke to your heart today, would you step out as we sing in just a moment? Come, I'll meet you here at the front. If you'd like to pray with me or somebody, we will take care of that for you. We'll help you. Christians, maybe you need to come and lead the way. Maybe there's some unbelievers that are really need to be a burden on your heart. Maybe they're not. Maybe you need to come and say, God, I need to get a burden for the lost that are around me and be the witness I need to be. Father, as we come before you today, I thank you, Lord, for the day that you have given to us. Thank you for the blessings that you've given to us. Father, today I pray that your word would go forth and it would do its intended work. And we pray these things in your name. Amen.